Welcome to the Healthcare Executive Podcast for the American College of Healthcare Executives, providing you with insightful commentary and developments in the world of healthcare leadership. I'm Ashley Bertuno, CEO of the Arizona market at the Healthcare Outcomes Performance Company. I'm with Vamsi Potlari, CEO of Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center, and I'm happy to be with him on today's episode. Vamsi is the recipient of the Robert S. Hudgens Memorial Award for Young Healthcare Executives of the Year. This award is given to an exceptional healthcare executive who is younger than 40, is a fellow of ACHE, and holds a CEO or COO position in the organization. To learn more, visit ache.org. Thank you for being here, Vamsi.
Thank you, Ashley.
Well, listen, I mean, we've got time, and I think it's amazing for us to really connect and tell everyone in ACHE just what it feels like in the ACHE Hudgens Award. So first and foremost, congratulations on receiving this award. But what does this honor mean to you?
Thank you. You know, I'll say initially and currently, in many ways, it still feels surreal. But honestly, it is deeply humbling. And I remember when you got your award, when Balaji got his award, and Pierre got his award. And I remember watching you all, listening to your story. And I'll tell you, it was inspirational to me. And in many ways, I was wondering, wow, I wonder if I'll ever be at their level, right? And not saying that I am, but, you know, I want to say that I think this award is more so a reflection of the people who have poured into me along my healthcare journey, but also a reflection of the great organization that I get a chance to work for, which is the VA. And I think we all understand that the award represents service, leadership, and the responsibility that we have to make healthcare better. And I'm motivated to continue to keep earning it through the work ahead.
I mean, you speak of some really amazing leaders that are in our field. And, you know, I'm beyond excited for having you as part of the Hudgens scholars in a sense. And you're right. It's about that servant leadership. So let's take it back some. Let's think about what led you to the career path that you're in today. So thinking of healthcare, how did your family influence that path? What really was the fire that got burning inside you that said, hey, I want to be in healthcare and serve others?
Yeah, I'll tell you, my family was definitely a driving force. For context, my mother and father both grew up in the farms of rural India. So for them, education and healthcare was the opportunity and what gave them the opportunity to come to America and have a family and build a life. So my parents were very, very passionate about healthcare. And I remember when I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, I told my dad, I'm going to be a better doctor than you. Like, it was always a competition, right? You know, father-son relationship. And he said, you know, nobody will be more proud than me when that is true. So although that didn't happen, my parents were a driving force for me to really pursue a career in healthcare. My siblings are also physicians. So my sister and my brother, internal medicine and cardiac anesthesia, both currently in healthcare. So really a driving force for a career in healthcare. Myself, I actually was pre-med, biochemistry, biophysics, undergrad, med school bound. And I graduated 1 year early due to summer semesters and AP credits and whatnot. So I had two options, take a gap year, and, you know, MCAT, med school applications and whatnot to get back on cycle, or do an MHA or MPH. And I decided to do my MHA through the University of Houston, Clear Lake, 1 year. And then the goal was back to med school. And that was my dad's wishes as well. And I started volunteering at the VA. I started learning about healthcare quality. I started learning about the full picture of healthcare and everything that it takes to make healthcare possible. And I decided to get my MBA as well. And my promise or commitment to my dad was, if I do not get a fellowship, administrative fellowship in the VA, then I'd go to med school. But fortunately, it all worked out and all is well.
Oh, I love it. Now, are there any banters from your family on, you're really the only one that's not a physician? Are you having those talks over those holiday meals?
Yeah, initially, I think my parents were like, you know, why this path? And it was really seated in my, I learned a lot about the VA, and I learned a lot about healthcare quality and how, from an administrative and leadership perspective, you can shape quality outcomes for patients. So that was really my driving focus in terms of being a quality management practitioner. And I think they understood it, but over a few years, maybe 5 to 10 years, I think that banter has died down a little bit.
Well, just as much as they're proud of you. I mean, I think as part of our industry and really as being a colleague, I mean, I'm proud of you. That sounds amazing. And just, we've got similar career paths in the sense of wanting to be a doctor. So I think that's a theme throughout all of, probably a lot of our colleagues. Now, you talked a little bit about the VA and kind of where that started and fellowship and really thinking through that a little bit more. But what made you decide that's truly where you wanted to spend the start of your career and where you are today?
Yeah, so I'll go back a little bit further, and I think I failed to mention this. I actually started at the VA during high school, during some clinical rotations. I went to the Michael E. DeBakey High School for Health Professions in Houston, Texas. But I really had my eye-opening moment when I started as a volunteer at the Houston Michael E. DeBakey VA during graduate school. And during my internship, but also volunteer opportunity, most of my day was walking veterans to their appointment. And I learned so much about veteran culture, service, commitment. But through my additional experiences during my volunteer and internship, mentors and leaders taught me about the VA and things I didn't know. So we have four missions in VA: clinical care, research, education, and we call it our fourth mission, but emergency preparedness and response. And just to share a little bit, from a clinical care perspective, we are a leader in healthcare, not only as the largest integrated healthcare system in the country with sites of care coast to coast, but also from a quality perspective. I think we have over 3/4 of our facilities are 4 and 5 star on CMS star rating.
Out of 5,000 hospitals in the U.S., very small percentage. So that's a huge kudos to the VA.
For sure. And I didn't know that until I had a chance to join the VA and learn more. From a research perspective, I think we have over $2 billion worth of research any given year. And you can really Google VA's contribution to the standard of healthcare now. From an education perspective, I think we have over 120,000 trainees, from administrative individuals to physicians to nurses, but 2/3 of all physicians at some point train in the VA. So from a workforce development perspective, VA is instrumental for healthcare, but even the broader country. And then lastly, the fourth mission, during times of need, we will respond, earthquakes, hurricanes, pandemics, to be this backstop for the country. So once I learned some of that, I got a taste of what it was like to work with veterans and for veterans. I couldn't unsee it. And I wanted to learn how an organization did that.
Oh, well, listen, you kind of touched on two things, and I've got two thoughts that just popped in.
Sure.
So I'm going to go down one, and then I'll lean to the other because they go to what you highlighted in terms of your pillars. You spoke really around the deep pride in serving veterans. Thinking through where you are today, your own leadership style and approach, how does working with veterans influence your overall approach to leadership and service? And how do you see that it's had an impact?
I'll say definitely through osmosis, but in many other ways. Although our role as civil servants and public servants is to serve our veterans and the teams that we work with. In many ways, I was raised and trained by veterans, whether veteran patients, given their stories and their experiences, but also by veteran leaders and clinicians and healthcare leaders, CEOs, CMOs, COOs. Oftentimes, we have about 1/3 of our workforce are veterans. So I learned healthcare administration, leadership, systems thinking, and even core values from many of my veteran colleagues and supervisors and mentors. And some of the core values that really, I think, resonate to this day with me are service. I think that's really important. Service before self. And then the Navy core values are some that were really instilled in me of honor, courage, and commitment.
Well, that just speaks to like who you are, and that's awesome that you're leading an amazing organization right there in DC. Thinking about that fourth pillar, which you talked about, emergency preparedness and action. As healthcare leaders, you know, we've gone through something in our age that not many have, and that's really leading a complex organization and through a complex situation, inclusive of using really COVID-19 as a true example, having major infrastructure work, construction challenges, launching new clinics. When you're facing that type of complexity and uncertainty, what do you do to keep your team focused and moving forward?
Yeah, and I think you learned this through your healthcare journey that complexity and uncertainty is something that will certainly happen. You know, we're responsible for managing through that. And I think just like healthcare, I think it starts with prevention and planning, right? So I think the first thing you got to do as a leader is really evaluate, listen, learn, and then lead. I think we were just chatting about this too, as a new leader to the organization, a new leader to any role, you have to make sure that you do the prep work to have the team that you need, right? And I think when we talk about team, my perspective is I like to hire and surround myself with people better than me and different than me, whether it's intellect, knowledge, sector experience, and then the notion of breadth and depth of experiences. I think that's really important. Sometimes we may fall into the trap of hiring people that are exactly like us, that have the same perspective. And sometimes I think that can be a vulnerability and make navigating that uncertainty even tougher if you don't have that lens or perspective. That's number one. Number two, I think everything comes down to trust, right? I think we all know everything operates at the speed of trust. You know, does my team trust me? Do we have mutual trust? And is there psychological safety when things are not going well, that things say, hey, Lee, I think this is something that you need to address or look into, or something that you may be blind to. And I think that maybe the last piece is you got to put your ego aside as a leader, right? And as a new team, as a team, you have to get your reps in. And I think as you get your reps in, that relationship, that trust improves. But when you are able to put your ego aside, flatten the organization, I think maybe, and even invert the pyramid where you put, you know, in our case, veterans, patients, staff at the center of everything that we do, it becomes a little bit easier to keep things on track, focused, and moving forward.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're here to serve, is to take care of our community and our patients. So you bring up great points. Before we switch to ACHE items, I want to hear one thing, and this is probably going to be tough, but what is one of your proudest moments that you want to share with everyone that may not even be on your resume?
That is a really tough thing. You know, I've always felt that the things that I'm the most proud of are not on my resume. And as I think through that, there's a lot to be proud of, but I think it comes down to the we did it moments. And I have this conversation with my kids too, like we did this, right? But I think with the team, it comes down to those small moments where someone or a group of people depended on me or the team. And initially it seemed unlikely to happen. And those people can be mentors that trusted in me or poured into me, staff members or team members that needed something from leadership or the organization. And or it can look like a 101-year-old World War II veteran and his daughter that needs something from the system that that we were able to provide. So I think it comes down to maybe solving those problems, untangling those knots, and going maybe to a farmer's analogy, planting seeds under whose shade we don't plan to enjoy, right? Things that have happened and maybe things that haven't quite yet bloomed or blossomed that will happen, I think, tend to be the things that I'm most proud of.
Well, those are some amazing moments and definitely something that's going to leave a lasting legacy within your career as well. So I want to switch a little bit to ACHE. So one of the things that I would say has been the most impactful organization to my career, and I assume yours as well, is really American College of Healthcare Executives. I mean, I truly remember going to my first Congress. I think I've been in the organization 16 years now, maybe 17, but who's really counting, right? But I remember walking in to Congress the first time as a student associate and just being revved up, like truly seeing the impact that our healthcare leaders have on not just the industry as a whole, but also how they had an impact on me. So thinking through your career, how has Congress or local chapters truly helped grow you as a leader within the time?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? In so many ways, inspiration, motivation, perspective, and then in some ways, the chance to give back, right? Too much is given, I think much is expected. And I remember going to my very first Congress, and I've tried to go more times than not since I became a student member. But I remember going to sessions by Nicholas Tejeda, being a young healthcare executive. And I would sit, you know, as close to the front row as I could. And again, the thought I had was, that's never going to be me, but this is awesome just to hear this from somebody that has done it, right? I remember hearing your award and your story. I mentioned Baljeet, Pierre, Baljeet, who nominated me. I met him in the hallway and said, hey, congratulations. You know, so inspiring and impressive. And then 2 years later, he reached out to me regarding this nomination, and I was just blown away. But I think it comes down to the inspiration, the motivation, the knowledge, and then really thinking about the chance to give back is, I think, the stage that I'm really excited to be in. And then, you know, at the Congress level, but also locally, I've had the privilege of being involved in the Maryland chapter, the Indiana chapter, and then even the VA chapter. So I think it really has been career changing and force multiplier.
Well, I think you bring up one name, you said it a couple of times, and I think we just need to give him a huge little shout out. Baljeet, if you're watching and seeing us, we both appreciate you and love you. You've been a great colleague and mentor and friend to probably both of us. And yes, so I think that really rounds out what you're talking about, what ACHE brings to all of us. And that is, it is not just the industry, it's not just going to Congress, and it's about the people. It's about the people that we get to interact with and truly shape our own leadership through influence of watching and learning and being part of someone else's journey as well. So amazing, absolutely awesome. I want to ask, really, what advice would you give to new leaders today entering the healthcare field?
I didn't realize how important it was. It happened to me by happenstance or by luck. I think luck is the, you know, intersection of preparation and opportunity, right? So there's a role that luck plays. But I think you really improve your odds of becoming the strongest professional when you work for other great leaders, right? I think I kind of alluded to this. And I think the other thing is, you take on the challenging assignments, the roles that most people walk away from. So I often didn't realize that in the moment. I was just eager and I wanted to learn. So taking on tough, challenging assignments, because they really do compound like anything good in life. And then work for good leaders, because early on, when you learn those good habits, you learn those good principles, I think it really does compound in a great way.
Spot on there. So thank you for sharing that. I think our audience is truly going to find value in that. So one last question. Leadership can be demanding. So when you're away from work, how do you recharge? What does downtime truly look like for you?
Lately, I don't know if I can empathize or sympathize with the term downtime. We recently welcomed our third child, Maya, who's 5 weeks old. So we have a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-week-old, my wife and I. So busy, but we love it, right? So I think the latest stage of life, even when I had our oldest, I was a COO. So really balancing work life. And I would say that in many ways, you do your best. And recharging for me is a little bit different than I think some others, but I just enjoy time with the kids and family. And we were talking about, you know, ways that you can be a little bit more intentional about clearing your mind, recharging, and coming back even stronger. So I've had that opportunity thanks to the amazing team here. I've been on paternity leave for the past 4 or 5 weeks, and just honored to be back. But recharging for me, just spending time with the little ones and family.
Well, first and foremost, congratulations on the growth of your family. That is definitely something to be excited for, but also those are the moments. Those are the moments that we live for, and family is everything. So super excited to hear of really the way that your family's growing. And now that you're back at work, you know, please definitely make sure you take that time and figure out when those balances really need to occur. So again, thank you so much for having the time to talk with me this morning. Congratulations again on winning the Hudgens Award. Can't be more excited for you, and best of luck in your career as well. I'm Ashley Bertuno, and I want to thank you for being part of the Healthcare Executive Podcast from American College of Healthcare Executives. For more episodes, visit healthcareexecutives.org.
Thank you, Ashley.
And a reminder, you don't need more tools, you need results. MedMetrics helps health systems deliver solutions that turn revenue cycle management into predictable yield end-to-end, or where you need it most. Find out how at MedMetrics.com.